Cool. All right. So Pastor John bailed on us again. So that's what he does. It's probably some family obligation or something. I don't know what that's about. I'm an empty nester. My kids are not my problem anymore. What? No. Is everyone having a good week so far? Good deal. So far, so good. That's all we can hope for. A lot of questions and answers. So you got to provide feedback. So we have a handout this evening. We're doing Heavenly Angels. And so that's what I'm just kind of going on with what he had already started. So anyone like to pass out handouts? Appreciate it. Thank you. And would anyone like to pass out clipboards, or anyone like to have a clipboard? Awesome. Volunteers are the best. So this evening we are going to, we're going to have prayer time at the end, just like we normally do. I think he got the hint that I like to stay together for prayer time, so he gave me permission that we could stay together for prayer time. Like, I need his permission. He ain't here. Anyways, but we will open with a prayer, and if someone, would anyone like to open us with a prayer today? Awesome.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. Father God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for everybody who's here, all the children, all the leaders. Thank you for well stepping in and doing the lesson tonight, the devotion tonight. And Father, we just remember. And so we know that you are here because the Holy Spirit is within us. And so, Lord, we just thank you.
I hope everyone brought their Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible, just like on Sunday morning, there's one in the seats in front of you. He gave us an outline with a lot of Bible verses in it, and I think I always love hearing other people read the Bible more than I like hearing me read the Bible. So if I'd ask if for volunteers as we go through it, so that would be wonderful. This evening we're doing Heavenly Angels. We've been talking about our adversary, the devil, for the last couple weeks. Following up to that study, we will take our time tonight and dive into a general overview of angels, focusing on the heavenly beings. It is important to note that the word angel simply means messenger, as they bring messages to you. It is in their function and not so much their being. There are also examples in the Bible where the term angel could be referring to mankind, as with the angels in the seven churches in Revelation, referring to the human leadership of the local churches. However, we must note that the human beings cannot become the heavenly creatures we think of as angels when we die. I think everyone's got their view of angels and what's, you know, I remember when I was a kid opening up my mom's Bible, and she had about every 5,000 pages, it seemed like there was a drawn or a painted picture, and one of them was of Gabriel, you know, and it was, I always said, well, that's what angels was, and that's the only thing, and I can only think of that is what an angel is this beautiful, you know, heavenly being with these big glowing wings, and because he had a sword, so that had to be extra cool as a little kid. I mean, a little boy, swords and guns are the two things you like to play with, so that's always been in my mind. The view of an angel was Michael. What is an angel? their creation. They are creation. Angels are created beings. And the first verse we get to today is Psalms 145, and I'll read that one to get us started. If you want to turn with me, it's Psalms 148, 5. It says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." This is just reaffirming that these are created beings. They were not always there. God did create them. They are not the same as God, and yet not the same as humans, a unique being. Of their creation, is this cutting out?
Yeah.
Okay. Beard, I don't think I should shave it. That wouldn't help at all. I think you're lying. The cause, and read Colossians, the blank there is the cause of their creation. Would someone like to read Colossians 1:16? Please. So these are instruments of his creation. They were made for a purpose, just like we were made for a purpose. Although we do have some similar purposes to worship and to praise, but they have specific purposes that we don't do. We have specific purposes that they don't do. Number three, the time of their creation. They were present before the world began. Would someone like to read Job 38, verses 6 through 7? First person there, Orisha, you'll win. Oh, go ahead.
"On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted?"
Hello, hello. I feel like an 80s rap star now. It's totally did you just like do like that? Like embarrassed? Oh, that's so cool. I love that I caused that. So, they were created before the world began. Number four, the state of their creation. Holy. The state. Holy. They were created holy, without sin, because God cannot create sin. However, after the sin of Satan, some rebelled and followed him. There is much discussion on how even Satan was able to sin, and if angels can rebel today. From what we see in Scripture, after the rebellion with Satan, you don't read of any such thing happening again. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Holy. Letter B. The nature of angels. They are personalities. They have intelligence, emotion, and basically, they are not physical. So, they cannot die. You think about that. Our soul cannot die, but we're in a state where we're going to transition. They're in a state where they're always in the same condition. They're always in the same way. I think about Satan and the angels that went with him with the fall. They're
like the eternal punishment, it seems like their eternal punishment is going to last longer than even our eternal punishment, because theirs has already started, because they're currently in that fallen state. We're kind of in a fallen state, but this is I don't know how to put it. I don't know how my mind puts it. It feels like they receive punishment longer than we do, because they were there since the beginning. We were created later on, so we have a shorter. If we're receiving punishment, thankfully not. But you're going to be punished shorter time than the angels are. That's just a perspective thing. Letter C, the structure of angels, the number of angels. It is an exceedingly rare number, or exceedingly large number. Would someone like to read Revelations 5:11? Okay. That seems to be a lot. I've never us throughout all of the ages that we've been around the 6,000 plus years that and we're all unique. We're not. I mean, we don't believe in reincarnation. We don't believe we're getting recycled. We're there's new every day. A new baby's born every second, and those numbers. But yet it seems like God wants us to understand that the angels are a huge number. Just I envision it's. When you look out over that view of heaven, when you have that aerial view of heaven, and you see all of those, all the angels, just all praising the name of the Lord, and all holy, 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 that's infinite. It's not like looking over a cornfield and you see just corn going forever. These are beings, and these are all worshiping God. It's thousands and thousands and thousands, and yes, it's a lot. They are organized. This is the assembly or the council of angels. Someone like to read Psalms 89, 5 and 7? The rankings of angels. Archangel. Michael is designated. Only one named. Could someone read Jude 9:1 and then someone else? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Got to make another one. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. Pastor John does it. So being in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Okay.
For the Lord himself shall descend from above, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
I think there's quite a strong following of people that are into the study of angels, and I think some of that study of angels goes. Is super biblical. They pull things from other sources and of the archangels, and apparently according to their numbers, and I don't believe this, but this is how the world likes to take things and run with it. There was like 1,000 archangels, and there's a whole hierarchy according to them. Once again, not very super biblical, and not, yeah, it's amazing what people can do with numbers, but the the Bible only names one, and yet we as humans, we got to have more. We got to do better than God on things. I question our sanity some days. Letter B, the Chief Princes, Group of Superior Angels. Would someone like to read Dan 10:13? Why is that Dan? Daniel. I know it's abbreviated. These are some of the apocryphal references to other angels in this category. Those kind of sections of text are where a lot of people may pull stuff out and run with it once again. But it's real easy for us to do that kind of thing as humans. Letter C is governmental rulers. Rulers and principalities. Could someone read Romans 8:38? I'm sorry, I guess I'm a little confused by that one.
Well, because he only said to read 38, but like the verse, like the thought continues in 39. Yeah. So that's why it's kind of stopped in mid-thought. But if like we read 39, then it would go on and say, like, continue with the thought, like, what else cannot separate us from Christ? But that verse specifically is talking about the angels.
Okay. Thank you.
But I know it sounded like...
Yeah, it kind of stopped fairly...
Because it was, but yeah, that's not.
I mean, Pastor John doesn't make mistakes with his stuff, so never. Probably not nearly as many as I do. Authorities and powers. Ephesians 1:2. I'll read it. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
I think you probably had a different reference.
I think maybe you did. That's all right. We'll try Colossians 1:16. That's got to work. I'll read that one. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That works. Authorities over the affairs of the world. So that makes sense. I'm not confused anymore. I'm okay. I'm not confused anymore. That's loud. I'm sorry. B is cherubim. High ranking, apparently designated as guardians of the holiness of God. Satan himself was a cherubim. Somebody like to read Ezekiel 28:14-16?
Yes.
Thank you. They also guarded the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Someone like to read Genesis 3:24?
He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
Thank you. And letter E is seraphim, acted as attendants at the throne of God and agents of cleansing. Also referenced specific is in Isaiah 6, 2 through 7. Let's see. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six when he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So yet another level. So the cherubims and the seraphims and the different levels of angels that we're seeing laid out. Particular angels. Gabriel, an angel of high rank, unsure if he was an archangel. His job was to bring important messages to individuals for God. Angels with special responsibilities, designated in connection with particular function they perform. Would someone like to read Revelations 4:18? And 16:5.
And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, Just are you, O holy.
And I'll read 9:11. And they had, if I didn't change my page. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in Greek the tongue hath his name Apollyon. And someone want to read 20:1-2? Okay.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottom of the pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which was the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
Angels associated with future judgments. Two of the three judgments in Revelations were announced by angels. Ministry of angels. Angels have a few specific roles in ministry that we see in Scripture. In relation to God, they worship, serve, rejoice, and are instruments of God's message and judgments. When we look at the ministry and life of Christ, angels were very involved. They were involved in his birth, his life. They warned and led Joseph and Mary and ministering to Christ after his temptation. They were also involved in his resurrection with rolling away the stone, the announcement, and his ascension. Angels also minister to the world around us, declaring messages of God, but also ministry to the church. Some specific ministries are answer to prayer requests. Would someone like to read Acts 12:5-10? I'll get it. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door. And he smote Peter on his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto them, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and it was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. But when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. Letter B is evangelism. Would someone like to read Acts 8:26? Okay.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.
And someone would like to read 10:3 in Acts? Okay, go ahead. Letter C is observing. Would someone like to read Ephesians 3:10? And encouragement is letter D. Would someone like to read Acts 27:23 through 24? Letter E is present at death. And what's at death? Okay, go ahead.
The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried.
As a conclusion, as we study the topic of angels, let us remember that the Lord is over all, and angels are under his authority. Let us guard against elevating angels to a level of divinity that would be blasphemous to the Lord. Anybody need any blanks filled in? Observing. The nature of angels. Immortal. They are immortal. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Are we able for conversation?
Oh, I hope so.
Okay.
Yes.
Us to show where we are.
was like, that guy's not going to listen to me. And so then the other person who was playing ball would run over, and then next thing everybody knew, he got saved. So it's kind of like, and then I think for Pastor Don, that was showing him, like, God knew that he wasn't going to go over there, but it was showing John, like, this is where your heart is, and when I tell you to do something, you know what I mean, how God uses those things to teach us. And so I just wanted to, like, you know, when somebody is put into our path, you know what I mean, I'm not saying to do it because, like, there could be an angel there, and like, oh, I'm going to feed this person, like, because it could be an angel, you know, and, you know, obviously do it for that reason, but I'm just saying, you know, are there, you just never know who's in your path and for what reason. So that was just one of the verses that I was kind of thinking of, but the biggest thing that I love about all of this, like, I remember when I first heard R.C. Sproul way back in 1997, he taught on Isaiah 6 and about the holiness of God, and I never forgot just what an amazing, beautiful conference that was, but specifically when he talked about that passage and he talked about the angels and how they had six wings, so three pairs. And he said, with two, they hid their faces because they were not even holy enough to look on God. And with two, they covered their feet, which was covering the fact that they were creatures. And then with two, they flew. So out of their six wings, they used only two for service in flight. And just how holy God is that even the angels can't look on him. And I think, too, like, angels, like, are babies with little baby wings or whatever, you know? And like how you said, when you saw that picture in your mother's Bible with the sword, I mean, that's so much more close to the reality of what angels are versus what, you know, because then the other thing, it's not a baby. It's like some woman with long, flowing blonde hair looking all, like, glassy eyes. So, you know, I just think that, like, angels are definitely powerful beings. And if they can't even look on God and they show reverence and fear and respect to him, I just think, you know, there's so much that we can learn just even from their stance that they take. And the other thing, I mean, when they do appear to people, like in the, when Jesus was born, for example, like they always have to tell people, fear not, fear not, fear not, because, like, they must be pretty something to see in person, you know. For them to have to say, don't be afraid, every time that you see them. So,
I think a lot of that, the whole don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, that's always in the Bible. Every time an angel comes to speak to someone, fear not. That's it. You put yourself in the situation of Mary, or put yourself in the situation of the shepherds, and all of a sudden the sky lights up, right, and these flying creatures come down, and they go to... My first thought would be to, oh, no. If it is good, what did I do wrong? Because I got to be in trouble for it. So I can understand that. I understand why they have to repeat that over and over again. Because glowing people with six wings flying down from the sky, I'm not prepared for that. But I think a lot of people, and a lot of people have angel moments. They have hand of God moments where they were, something happened, and they felt the presence of God. And I think a lot of times that could be an angel that God sent. You know, I'm not one of those. I don't believe there's an angel sitting on my shoulder. I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit is me for one reason or another. And no biblical backing for it whatsoever, other than they are. God does that. So, but... Right.
I mean, you know, so there's so many things that you just, and even my mother, like, you know, I remember her coming home. Now, she was coming home from the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall one night, but still she said that there was a car that was coming at her in the oncoming, like, lane, about to have a head-on collision. And she said, you know, I mean, I wasn't with her, but she said that her car was just, like, all of a sudden off to the side and then all of a sudden back on the road. And my mom was not one to react quickly. So, I mean,
Yeah, you don't know.
You exactly do not know. That's right.
There's definitely those, and I think a lot of people have stories like that in their life, where you felt the hand of God, or you felt the hand of an angel. I mean, which is the hand of God ultimately, right. Anyway. So, yeah. Anyways, does anyone else have anything they'd like to throw into the pot? I think so. There's a lot of like not biblical parables, but parables like that where, you know, someone's knocking on the door type thing, and how you answer the door says a lot for what's in your heart. So, yes, and we should be better at that. We should be, yeah, not always, but I guess we're all working, right? We're all, yeah. I need to work harder. Anyone else? Okay.
I think the other thing, like, that's so contrary to what people think in this day and age as well, is that when you die, people just think you become an angel. And even like that movie, you know, the old one, It's a Wonderful Life, I think, you know, you get your wings.
Clarence.
When you die, kind of thing like that. It's just like, I think what most people think where angels come from. That like when you die, you're automatically in heaven with your wings kind of thing, which is obviously not biblical at all, but I think that's what most people think that angels are, you know. So I think it's good to have this study to kind of clarify. I mean, I know it's hard to like bring it up in conversation, by the way, that's not really what happens, but you know, still, I think it's good that we know.
No. Anyone else? Any questions? I know it's unlikely I could answer them, but just throw them at me. I'll write them down. Ask Pastor John. All right. Well, thanks for not walking out. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming this evening. We will close in, well, I guess we could just kind of go to prayer requests. So I don't have any prayer guides. So if you have a prayer guide from last week, that's probably the current one. And Kelsey's not here to tell me I'm wrong. So we'll go with that. And is there anyone that would like to add some prayer requests, or does anyone have any specific prayer requests that they would like to focus on this evening? Okay, Javi?
I have a praise and then a request for the same person. So we had been praying for Kevin's sister, Jan, who kind of had that like mini stroke or whatever. And so they thought it was going to be like months and months before she could ever walk again. And she's already walking. And the physical therapist people said they've never seen anybody recover so quickly. So that's a praise. But then now that the cancer is back and salvation, when she was in for... I can't remember if it was like when she had the stroke or when she had a diagnostic, but anyway, she said that she had two visions, and one was kind of of hell and it was really scary, and one was, then she saw like one of kind of heaven or whatever, and she's like, I know where I'm going. I'm like, you know, like it's just so hard to like talk to people when they're already convinced of, you know, and it's like they grew up in, you know, in a very works-based, you know, Catholic type of situation, and so I think that that's a lot of what she's basing her eternity on. And so I guess the biggest thing is just that, you know, opportunity would present itself for somebody to share the beauty of Christ alone, you know, by grace alone, through faith alone, Christ alone, you know, for her. Because, I mean, we're all going to die one day, obviously, you know. So, I mean, not that I'm not praying for her healing, I am. You know, I would love for her to be healed as well. But, I mean, the spiritual healing, I think, is just so much more urgent right now, if the cancer is back especially, you know.
Anyone else? Well, so what we'll do is we'll open, and I'll ask someone if they would like to open, and then we'll just do an open time of prayer. If you've been here before, just if there's a moment of silence and you would like to pray out loud, definitely encourage it. And when it stays a little too quiet for a little too long, I'll close us out. But feel free to pray when you get a moment. And So would someone like to open us in prayer?